From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, May 10th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Red Zone Wireless, providing a local alternative for broadband throughout Maine. Learn more at redzonewireless.com.
The effort to replace Maine's presidential caucuses next year with a primary system could be in trouble following a party-line vote by the legislature's Veterans and Legal Affairs Committee. Steve Missler reports.
Democrats on the committee voted to approve the bill, but Republicans opposed it. And that partisan split is significant because Republican votes will be needed to enact the proposal when it reaches the House and Senate. That's because the bill imposes a mandate on municipalities to pay most of the costs of implementing a primary system, and passing a mandate requires a two-thirds vote, which the Democrats don't have despite controlling the legislature. Maine has used a caucus system to select presidential nominees since 2004, but frustration during the 2016 presidential caucuses spurred an effort to retry the state's brief experiment with presidential primaries. Maine is among 14 states with a caucus system, which is considered to encourage more intense voter participation. 36 states hold primaries, which often drive up voter turnout. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Governor Janet Mills has signed into law bills requiring electric utilities to provide more information to their customers. The laws require utilities to provide a 10-year history of rates to customers and to clearly display consumer assistance lines on billing statements. The laws allow the Public Utilities Commission to require corrections for misleading, deceptive, or inaccurate information. The Portland Press-Herald reports that the legislation was prompted by months of problematic bills issued by Central Maine Power. A new state survey indicates heating oil prices are dropping. Good news for consumers still running furnaces during a chilly spring. The governor's energy office says the average statewide cash price for heating oil is now $2.84 per gallon, down several cents since mid-March. Kerosene is following a similar trend, while propane prices have dropped even more. Three Algonquin selectmen have survived a recall vote. The three were targeted by residents opposed to a decision by Algonquin's town manager to fire the town's fire chief. The three included Chairman Charles Bunkie Waite and members Robert Wynn Jr. and Madeline Mooney. The recall vote was the first for Algonquin. Thunder possible this evening with areas of dense fog, partial clearing tonight, but all for the mountains. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ed Morin.
This past week on Maine Calling, Monday, a legislative update from Augusta. Wednesday, NPR host Scott Simon.
It never occurred to me to do anything that didn't involve writing. I can't do anything else. As my family will tell you, I have no practical skills whatsoever.
Thursday, springtime gardening advice. And Friday, stories about our mothers.
People like my mothers to say they're ordinary, and I've really come to realize there's no such thing as an ordinary person.
Maine Calling, online anytime at mainecalling.org.
Activists on both sides of the gun control debate turned out in force at the State House today to testify on nearly a dozen bills to either relax or restrict Maine gun laws. Mal Leary has more.
The bills under consideration by the legislature's Criminal Justice Committee include gun safety measures such as mandating trigger locks and requiring guns to be stored in safes. Another bill would require background checks for private gun sales or exchanges. Gun rights supporters, including former 2nd District Congressman Bruce Poliquin and Maine GOP Vice Chair Nick Isgro, kicked off the day with an 8 a.m. rally in the Hall of Flags against the measures, which they say are unnecessary and an infringement on their constitutional rights. But supporters say too many people, especially children, are dying from gun violence in Maine, and lawmakers need to act. As an example, several highlighted the 2017 death of a 5-year-old Scarborough girl who found her father's loaded handgun in a backpack and accidentally shot herself. The bills are expected to be hotly debated when they reach the full legislature. Similar bills have been previously rejected by Maine lawmakers. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
A new study on hospital prices from the RAND Corporation finds that patients with private insurance in Maine pay nearly three times what Medicare would pay for the same service. The nonprofit think tank is urging employers to use the finding to push for lower costs in their health plans. But the Maine Hospital Association says the study findings come with caveats. Patty White reports.
The RAND study evaluated hospital claims data in 25 states. Senior policy researcher Chapin White says in 2017, the prices paid to hospitals overall averaged about 241% of what Medicare would have paid. In Maine, the average price was even more, 283%.
Maine is definitely on the higher end of the among the states we looked at.
States on the lower end, like Pennsylvania and New York, paid average prices that were between 150 to 200% of Medicare payments. White says it's difficult to say what's a reasonable price for private insurers to pay compared to Medicare. The benefit of the study, he says, is that employers, who've historically been kept in the dark about prices, can use it as a reference point to start asking their health plans how much they're paying for services.
The second takeaway is I think employers should be asking their health plans, okay, not just what prices are we paying, but how are we paying for hospital services?
Most private health plans negotiate complicated discount rates for services. But another option is to base payments on a set percentage of what Medicare pays, a method that White says typically elicits lower costs.
Paying multiples of Medicare is a simple approach to contracting that enables shopping.
But Jeff Austin of the Maine Hospital Association cautions against that approach.
Moving towards Medicare rates, I can understand why the commercial folks in the industry would want to do that. We would have a hard time making it if that were to happen, though.
Austin says Medicare reimbursement rates in Maine only cover about 85 to 90% of the cost of services. Medicaid rates are even lower. Commercial plans help cover those losses. Even then, he says, the average operating margin for hospitals in Maine is 1%.
At the end of the day, out of every dollar, there's one penny left. And that's an average. As you know, about 16, 17 hospitals are in the red. They actually walk away with a deficit.
Trevor Putnacki of the nonprofit Healthcare Purchaser Alliance of Maine recognizes rural hospitals are struggling and says his organization isn't currently pushing for health plans to negotiate prices based on Medicare rates.
That being said, we do know employers are looking at this as a means to control cost and get more transparency into their healthcare spend.
And the prices unveiled in the RAND report, he says, should be used to help steer Maine toward lower health costs. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
The Saginaw County District Attorney has decided not to prosecute 25 protesters arrested for blocking the road outside Bath Iron Works last month. Natasha Irving says police had probable cause to make the arrests, but she says in this particular case, her office determined that prosecuting nonviolent offenders for an act of civil disobedience would not be the best use of her office's limited resources. Susan Sharon has more.
The arrests for obstructing a public way were made after protesters lined the street and blocked traffic ahead of a christening ceremony for a destroyer honoring President Lyndon Johnson. But after reviewing photos, videos, and other evidence, Saginaw County District Attorney Natasha Irving says she couldn't see moving forward with prosecution against those involved.
If there was a criminal trespass involved, if there was an assault, if there was disorderly conduct, if there was belligerent conduct, if somebody bit at a police officer, for instance, those would be reasons that we would prosecute. Because those go over and above obstructing a public way.
Obstructing a public way is a Class E misdemeanor, punishable by up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. But Irving says protesters in a case like this are often willing to risk jail time and go forward with a trial as a way to attract attention to their message. And she says she had to consider whether prosecuting 25 people would be the best use of her limited budget and staff.
That's going to take time away from their week when they need to prepare cases of child sexual abuse. They need to prepare domestic violence cases, sexual assault cases, other violent crimes, and they create, you know, extreme public safety concerns.
Protesters, who included members of Veterans for Peace and Americans Who Tell the Truth, say they were surprised by Irving's decision. Artist Robert Shetterly of Brooksville was among those arrested. He says the bigger crime is the amount of money being spent on the military in the face of climate change.
You know, the U.S. military has the biggest carbon footprint of any entity in the world. And it's at this moment in our history, to keep doing this is not giving us more security, it's making us more insecure.
Protests at the shipyard, Shetterly says, are not to shut down Bath Iron Works, but to get the shipyard to change its mission to support green energy. Last year, a Superior Court judge dismissed all criminal trespass charges against 9 activists after a similar protest at BIW. Irving says the fact that she declined to prosecute this time doesn't mean she might not reach a different conclusion in the future. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
A well-known whale has died off the Massachusetts coast, but will be given a second life here in Maine. Den Dandanto of the College of the Atlantic is tasked with turning her skeleton into a museum exhibit. He's on the road today to pick up the final parts of the skeleton. He described the whale scientist named Vector via cell phone.
She was tracked nearly every year of her life and through documenting 5 calves. So she was a prolific mother whale and died rather unexpectedly. Carcass found floating in Stellwagen Bank off of Cape Cod just very recently.
Dandanto says the process of turning a whale carcass into a museum exhibit can take between 1 and 2.5 years to complete. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Have a great weekend. I'm Ed Morin.